Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hey, so we are in Amway Center. I'm Fred Katz. I'm of Locked On Thunder, and it's a crossover episode. I'm here with Philip Rossman Reich of Locked On Magic, and we are here to talk about Billy Donovan using Norris Cole with Samaje Christen in the lineup for the first time this year, and that was the only thing that happened in this game, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see Norris Cole back out there in the Sunshine State. This is where he made his hay and made a huge impact in this game. I mean, he's my MVP of the day.
So first of all, it was like 94 degrees here today.
Yeah, it was nice.
That can't be good for the high top, though.
Probably not.
Humidity.
But you know, if he and Elfrid Payton can make it work in Florida, anyone can make any hairdo work in Florida.
Okay, you know how people say, like, you have to see Russell Westbrook in person in order to appreciate him? And, like, if you see him on TV, it's just a different, you know, you see Bruce Springsteen live, it's a different experience than when you listen to his album, right? That's how I feel about Elfrid Payton's hair.
Yes. I mean, and even sitting up in the rafters doesn't do it justice because you don't get the bounce that it has. Like, when he's running, it's bouncing up and down, and it's mesmerizing.
Have I told you my theory?
No, I haven't heard your theory.
This is my insane theory that I've completely convinced myself is true, that the reason Elfrid Payton can't shoot is because of his hair. It's like
You saw that video going around the internet today.
Well, what was the video?
Someone took a video of Payton. I don't know how long we're keeping this joke up, but Elfrid Payton missed several free throws down the stretch of a close game that ended up going to overtime. And someone took video of it and said, "I know the reason why Elfrid Payton's missing all these free throws. His hair is blocking his shot." And Sports Illustrated actually picked it up.
Well, there you go.
It's a theory that's been going around for a while.
You can go back in my tweets and see me tweeting this from 6 months ago. But I liken it. It's like a brim of a baseball cap. You can't shoot when you're wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah.
You can't shoot with the hair.
I don't buy it. I think Peyton's just a bad shooter. I mean, I think he tends to bring, I mean, it's kind of like a golf swing.
Of course. But this is a way more fun conversation than he's just a bad shooter.
Of course.
Okay. So we've made it. We've gone 2 minutes without discussing Russell Westbrook.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to.
I guess.
So Thunder won 114-106. They were losing by, in case you didn't see the game, they were losing by 21 in the third quarter. Largest second half comeback in the history of the Thunder.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, they were down 21 points in the third quarter. Russell Westbrook finished with 57 points. Let me call this up. 57 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. Seven turnovers.
Ho-hum game for him.
Ho-hum, yeah. It was the most points anyone's ever scored in a triple-double. He had, after, do you see his numbers after halftime?
I know he had seven turnovers at halftime, and I was like, that's probably the big reason why the Magic are in control of this game the way they are.
Right, so his numbers after halftime, so third, fourth quarter overtime. 36 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, no turnovers.
That's pretty good. 19. I know he had 19 points in the fourth quarter. The reason that they came back, Oklahoma City was down 10 points entering the fourth quarter, and there are plenty of moments where it looked like the Magic were going to just find a way to squeeze this one out, but the Thunder kept fighting. And you know, the Magic know this as well as anyone from the last few years. When Westbrook gets going downhill and that train is coming at you, he is going to will his team back into the game, and you cannot give him an opening. And the Magic once again gave him an opening to win the game.
There's something about Thunder Magic games
Thunder Magic games. The last four have been really incredible.
Last year,
both of them were close.
Yeah. That three overtime one was just amazing. Was this one somehow, like, so after the game, Russell was, and this was. This might have been the greatest – that
second half overtime performance. I'm trying to go over it in my head, and I can't think of a time where I've seen a greater performance live in my entire life. Like, I've been at a game and seen a performance like that in my entire life with Russ, what he did in the second half, hitting the three to send it to overtime to tie it at 102 with 7.1 seconds left. I can't think of a time where I've seen a performance like that in person. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some McGrady game. McGrady had a game against the Milwaukee Bucks in 2001 in the playoffs, so I guess the stakes were a little bit higher when he seemed to just take over in the fourth quarter and overtime just like this. And it was that kind of a performance where you knew Westbrook was getting the ball, you knew exactly what he was going to do, and it was just up to you to stop it. And time again, the Magic could not stop it. And it was just, I mean, look, from the Orlando perspective, it was just like, the Magic just needs something to stop the bleeding. Just give them a little bit of confidence. And time again, they couldn't find it, whether it was Nikola Vucevic missing, you know, bunnies, essentially, like little hook shots and jumpers that would just fall in and out, or the Magic missing free throws. I mean, I think they missed 5 free throws in the fourth quarter, including Nikola Vucevic, usually a pretty reliable free throw shooter, splitting 2 to give Oklahoma City a 3-point deficit and a chance to tie the game late in the fourth quarter, and Orlando just could not stop the bleeding. You know, again, from the Orlando perspective, they were 6 for 29 from the floor in the fourth quarter and overtime. So they just could not make the plays that they needed to put this game away. And when you leave the door open for a player like Russell Westbrook to win a basketball game, he's going to win it. That's what he does. That's why he's probably going to be the MVP.
Yeah, I wasn't quite considering context when I said that, because if you do, then I was at Klay Thompson Game 6 last year, the Western Conference Finals.
That's a good point.
Yeah, if you include context,
your listeners don't want to remember that.
I want to hear that.
This Russell Westbrook game was by far the greatest single performance in NBA history. Period. Look, exclamation point. End sentence.
It was pretty amazing. Just seeing it was like he had this epiphany moment sometime. I mean, he kind of seemed to realize it halfway through the third quarter, then really take it over in the fourth, which was, wait a second, if I just put Vucevic in pick and roll every single time, he can get to the rim every time.
You realized the secret.
That's what Isaiah Thomas said was the secret.
Yeah,
Nikola Vucevic, defensive pick and rolls.
Yeah. If Nikola Vucevic is not coming up to meet you at the screen, just attack him, because he is not going to do anything. And this is not to harp on Vooch too much, because he has improved dramatically on defense this year, but that is, I can't count how many games the Magic have lost because, like, John Wall put him in a high pick and roll, or Russell Westbrook put him in a high pick and roll, or Stephen Curry put him in a high pick and roll. That is his Achilles heel. And even when he finally did trap Westbrook beat it and got to the basket, and he was just on fire. I mean, the Magic, I kind of started thinking the Magic were in a little bit of trouble in this game when they were up 10 entering the fourth quarter, and Westbrook sat, I think, the first 3.5 minutes of the fourth quarter, and the Magic were unable to extend their lead. And they even brought their starters in a little bit earlier to try and take advantage of those minutes. And Westbrook came back in. It was still a 10-point game. This is what Westbrook does. You just could feel the momentum shift and feel he's coming, and you better be ready for that storm. And the Magic just weren't ready at the end.
It was so similar. Did you watch the Dallas game on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, I referenced it a few times where it's like, you know, what was it? 13 with 3:30 to go. Magic were up 13, I think, with 8.5 to go in this game. And I was like, Oklahoma City's done this before against the Magic and the Mavericks are not too dissimilar. Dallas has a little bit of a better record now. But, you know, this is the type of game that Russell Westbrook takes over and wins, because he is that good.
Right, but, like, even the narratives were so similar. Like, it came down to, like in a 2-point game, there was a review on a sideline out of bounds call.
Sure,
like, you know, like, it was Barea in the other game, it was Elfrid Payton in this one. The call was made differently. Last time it was for the Thunder. Tonight it was for the Magic. When Westbrook made the shot in the Magic game to give him the lead, or in the Mavericks game to give him the lead, 7.2. Tonight, 7.1 seconds left. Like, it was like they were copying and pasting that game into this one. Some differences. This one went to overtime. But, like, the way that this one happened, like, when I watched that game on Monday, I kind of thought, all right, well, you know what? If he wins MVP, This is probably like his. You know, this is guys have that MVP
that
moment.
Heisman moment. So
exactly, exactly. And now it's like, well, what's he going to do on Friday against the Spurs?
He's got to score 60 in a triple double now. I mean, he's already. I mean, 50. I mean, I don't think we've mentioned this. 57 points is the most points ever scored in a triple double in NBA history.
That surprised me. I feel like Wilt would have done that.
Well, the rumor with Wilt, they didn't keep track of a lot of counting stats.
Right. Like, but, I'm sure he had it with blocks.
And by the time Wilt started, like, when Wilt messed around and led the league in assists, he sacrificed a ton of his scoring to do that. So he wasn't scoring 50, 60 points like he was before. When he was trying to go out and get assists, we can probably look this up at some point, but I think he was averaging like 25, 30 points per game that season. So he wasn't trying to score that much when he was doing the assist season. So, you know, I was a little bit surprised by it too, but 57 is a lot of points.
I just kind of thought like Wilt averaged 15-26 one year. So I just figured like he probably would have, like that year he probably just had a game where he happened to have 10 assists. And, like, all he's got to do is score, like, 15% more than he normally does, and he's got the all-time record, you know? Like, it just feels like it would be a Wilt record.
Yeah, it does feel like it would be a Wilt record, but I guess they counted assists differently back then, too. I mean, the way we count assists now is a little bit more liberal than it was back in the 60s and 70s.
Right, and they weren't keeping track of blocks.
And they weren't keeping track of
blocks. So Wilt for sure, like, I'm sure Wilt had a 60-point game.
I'm sure Wilt's 100-point game was a triple-double, and
right.
We don't know it.
Right, exactly, because they were not keeping track of blocks.
And there's no video to go back and try and figure that out.
If only.
If only. There's video of this, though.
There is video of this. There's fire video of this. The Thunder actually played terribly tonight.
They did.
Like, amidst all of this. Like, amidst all of this. That's what Westbrook does. He, like, pushes aside the actual reality. You know? Like, it's...
He's fake news embodied.
Yeah.
Embodied.
Yeah, exactly. He pushes aside the reality. No one played... I can't think of any Thunder player who played really well in this game. Like, on both sides of the ball.
I'll give Steven Adams some props. He really frustrated Nikola Vucevic all night.
Yeah.
You know,
he did a good run on my job.
Probably the Magic's most consistent offensive player. He shot 3-for-14 on the night. You know, the Magic were getting him good looks, and Adams was just physically harassing him all game long. And that's, you know, that's kind of what you have to do with Vucevic a little bit sometimes. And it knocked him off of rhythm. So I'll give Adams his due. Vogel, after the game, credited Taj Gibson and Jeremy Grant a lot after the game as well for their defense, especially in the fourth quarter, and kind of changing the momentum of that game. Like I said, that moment at the beginning of the fourth quarter when the bench kept it a 10-point deficit, I think was really, really key to setting up the heroics at the end for Westbrook and big reason why they won this game.
Jeremy Grant was a plus 30.
Yeah, that's amazing when a team is down 21 at one point to swing back up that high.
And well, because so Grant, I don't think he played in the first half.
I don't believe
because they were playing McDermott and they were playing. I'm not sure Grant played in the first half. I think he came in the third quarter. That's like a thing that Donovan has done a little bit, where he's kind of mixed up Grant in the first.
No Jeremy Grant in the first half.
There you go. And then he came in the third quarter. And he really played him at the four, like he's played four, he's played three. I think he's a lot better at the four.
Yeah, he looked a lot better at the four. You know, especially with the way the Magic are playing, they're trying to play smaller now with Aaron Gordon at the four, with Serge Ibaka now in Toronto, and you know, he definitely fit. It was a good matchup against Gordon, you know, who isn't much of an offensive threat anyway. So you get a lot of switching, and he's able to guard perimeter guys as well as he's able to guard, you know, kind of the smaller fours. And so it definitely seems like it was a good fit. And like I said, that block he had on the baseline, I think, really helped change the game a little bit. It was, you know, there's always those kind of defensive plays that help bring momentum, you know, and that was kind of a we're going to physically dominate you the rest of this game type of play.
He had a great contest on Biyombo too.
Yes,
because Biyombo got him.
Yes,
and then he got Biyombo back. Magic perspective. Want to go Magic perspective?
Yeah, let's go some Magic perspective here.
Evan Fournier is really underrated.
He isn't. You know, he has games like this. I mean, 24 points is nothing to sneeze at. He ended up with 5 assists, but, you know, 5 turnovers as well. The problem with the Magic, and I generally think this is the problem with a lot of teams that are kind of in the Magic's position where they're just not very good, is they play guys outside of the roles they're capable of playing. Evan, I mean, you could kind of see that in the last play. And like you said, the Magic had 7 seconds to get down court and get a good shot. And Evan Fournier was trying to force something, and he ends up turning the ball over with 0.6 seconds left. The Magic don't even get a shot to try and answer that Westbrook three. And that's kind of what Fournier does. I mean, he's capable when you're setting him up, but when he has to set up and create for others, he really, really struggles. And especially in a game like this where, you know, one guy's really going at you and you absolutely need to bucket, the Magic were putting the ball in Fournier's hands and he could not deliver them a basket when they absolutely needed to. But, I mean, he's underrated in that, you know, people don't realize that he is a very capable scorer and a very good role player. But what the Magic are constantly asking him to do is probably a little bit too much for what he's capable of doing on a successful team.
All right, let's talk about a positive Magic thing. This is a positive Magic thing. That Hezonja dunk was absurd.
It was nice to finally see that happen.
Oh my goodness. Hezonja looks like kind of a sleazeball, by the way.
He's a good kid. Like he has.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. I'm purely talking about
how he looks.
His hair and his goatee.
Yeah, it's very much. I don't. It's very much kind of. I guess it might be like a European fashion thing, or you know, he's got the spirit of a soccer player in him. I think in some ways, you know, you see the soccer players with that like kind of half shaved head comb over thing that they all love. He was rocking that for a while.
Well, he is a crazy athlete. My goodness,
he is a crazy athlete. And
he has like one of my favorite meaningless plays over the last 2 years in the NBA, which was that bounce alley-oop with Aaron Gordon in the preseason.
Yeah.
It was last year, right?
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah,
it was last year. The valley-oop. It's the only time we've seen that.
It's the highlight of his career, unfortunately.
It was amazing. I loved that play.
Yeah.
But that dunk on Cantor, man.
That was a dunk of confidence, and I think the Magic have found a way to use him more effectively than they have before. I mean, he only scored 4 points, but he's contributing a little bit more now. You know, I think a lot of people had ideas of what Hezonja could be, and He hasn't delivered on that, and the Magic have struggled to find a way to get him to fit, and they're now playing him at power forward kind of out of necessity with Jeff Green out, just to get him out there, and he's found some success. I mean, he's a great passer. I mean, the other play that I think was really great, he had a really nice bounce pass through traffic to Aaron Gordon for a dunk early in the, I think late in the first quarter, actually, and those are the kind of plays you want Hezonja making. He's got to make shots. His three-point shot has kind of left him all season now. But that's going to be something that he's going to have to continue to develop. And you know, hopefully we see more plays like he had on Cantor. It just hasn't happened enough this year.
All right. You got anything else?
Not really. I kind of was like, I mean, Terrence Ross is on an upswing, which is nice for the Magic. You know, everyone knows Terrence Ross is kind of the definition of inconsistency in the NBA. I liked Dwayne Casey's joke from Monday that, you know, the game after Terrence Ross scored 51, he had 2 points. That's Terrence Ross. That seems like Terrence Ross's career in a nutshell. So good to see him get 23 points, make some shots. If anything, the Magic need to get him more involved in the offense. I think, you know, like I said, the Magic made only 6 shots in fourth quarter and overtime. Terrence Ross made 4 of them. And only took, I think he was 4 for 7 in the fourth quarter in overtime. So they got to find a way to get him more involved in the offense, especially when he's feeling it like this, and find ways to keep him involved.
I love that Terrence Ross and Jeff Green are on the same team because they're so similar in that sense. Like, you'll just see them go for 30 one night, and then they'll be absent the next night, and they're so similar in that sense. I love that.
They seem to be very similar. Jeff Green's may be a little bit more aggravating for whatever reason. He kind of, I guess, just his career's kind of rubbed people the wrong way because enough people have believed in him and they've been disappointed. But yeah, Ross is entering that territory, I guess, and the Magic are getting an upswing from him right now to end the season.
All right, you got anything to plug? Twitter handle, writing, podcast, whatever.
You can always follow me on Twitter at @omagicdaily and. I'll be writing and doing stuff on OrlandoMagicDaily.com.
Cool. And you got Locked On Magic.
And I got Locked On Magic every day on the fun places that you download podcasts.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. And you can find all my Thunder coverage on Thunder Road. That's my blog on NormanTranscript.com. NormanTranscript.com/sports. /Thunder Road, or you can just go to the site and find it under the sports tab there. I guess that's gonna do it for us. We talked about Russell Westbrook. We didn't get away with not talking about Russell Westbrook.
Just in case we didn't, Russell Westbrook is really good at basketball and should be one of the two players you consider for MVP this year. Probably gonna. If I had a vote, he'd probably get my vote.
Yeah, I've been saying all year that Harden's my guy. I don't know, man.
He single-handedly won a game tonight.
Single-handedly won a game on Monday too.
Yeah,
I don't know. This his crunch time numbers are just. He's averaging, well, coming into this game, he was averaging, I don't know what it is now, but coming into this game, he was averaging 58 points per 36 during clutch time. Yeah.
Jeez, you don't even need to tell me his field goal percentage.
You know what? It's above average efficiency.
Jeez.
55% true shooting. Like, his true shooting percentage is actually higher in clutch time than it is on the season.
That's just incredible. Because yeah. Crunch time, you usually see those numbers decrease dramatically.
Mm-hmm. It's 54%. On the season, and 55% in clutch time, because he gets to the line a lot.
Yeah.
The three-point percentage is not great, but he's getting to the line 18 times per 36 minutes during clutch time.
That's pretty good.
Yep, and 58 points per 36 minutes in the clutch time would be the highest in clutch time over the last 20 years. So I guess we'll leave it at that. That's a good stat to end it on. I'll be back tomorrow. I assume we'll be back.
I'll be back tomorrow, and for people listening on my feed, I guess I might have a few comments or two after I'm done here, so we'll see how I feel when I get home.
Great. Well, until then, Locked On Thunder, Locked On Magic, or locking up.